Father always tells me to wait till they're halfway through the pews before I begin, and that's one of the hardest things I have to do all week long. I hope you can hear me better. I made sure to change the battery this time. You'd be surprised the challenges we have. Now, in high school, I was a verbal guy. My skills were and still inclined towards reading, writing, maybe even speaking a little bit. Math was not my strong suit. Now, I could do it, but there came a point in time, I think puberty, when math just really began to elude me, for the better part of it. And that's just the way it is, right? Not all of us are good at everything. Actually, very few of us are. So, to my delight, I have found as I've gotten older, especially when I think more theologically, that physics really seems to intersect with theology a great deal. When I read about things about space and time and distance and gravity, I find a lot of parallels to what we believe in the Orthodox Church. And as a verbal guy, I find this absolutely fascinating that the two are united, right? It's almost like men, women, cats and dogs, math, numbers, but they do. They come together. Now, I'm not going to reconcile the meaning of pi for you today. If any of you are mathematical, I hear a chuckle. Some of you know what that might be. But it is fascinating, and I'm sure there is a reconciliation to the number pi. But that's not for today. I wanted to talk about something I read that talked about gravity and centrifugal force. And it really captured my attention, especially with regard to today's lesson about forgiveness. Forgiveness. And how difficult that can be. Now, did you know, if you've ever been to a fair, you've probably ridden a carousel, right? Usually, there are these poles, and you've got these plastic horses, and they go up and down, and the carousel rotates on a central axis, and you ride the horse, and you go around. And as it speeds up, the horses go up and down faster, and you begin to feel the tug of what's called centrifugal force pulling you towards the outside, away from the center of the carousel. And it's fun. You have to hold on, and you can kind of feel it, you know, and all that, and it's great. And they're very careful to tell you when you get on and when you get off, right? They make sure that thing has slowed down, actually come to a stop. Because if you're not holding on to something, when it picks up speed, you're holding on for bare life. Did you know that there's not really a force that is pulling you out as much as it is the effects of the speed? You see, we're basically just sitting there, and it's the inertia of our weight. That's right, our weight, our mass. It's the inertia of our mass that keeps us on that horse in the beginning, right? And then at a certain point, as the speed increases, what happens is the centrifugal force, the speed of that circular motion, begins to want us to go in a straight line. And that's what we actually feel is that tug away from the center, off the horse. It wants us to go in a straight line, which in the circle feels like it's pulling us out. Now, at some point, our weight is overcome. And we have to do something to compensate for that. So what do? Well, we hold on to the pole, right? We hold on to the pole. Now, if the, presumably and theoretically, if the carousel were to spin fast enough, it could overcome the force of our grip on that pole, and we would let go, and centrifugal force would take us. So, inertia is not enough, right? We can't just depend on the way we are, because the carousel may speed up. I offer to you this morning that this world, this life, is like a carousel. It is like a carousel that goes round and round, sometimes faster, sometimes slower. And if we just depend on our inertia to remain where we are, we're at risk. We're at risk of the speed increasing to such a point that our inertia no longer holds us in place, and we begin to drift away from the center. Now, there are voices in this world that say, oh, let go. It's fun out on the edge. Let go. You don't want to be on that horse. You don't want to be tied down. You don't want to be near the center, because near the center, you know what's at the center? Is at peace. At peace, those rotations seem like nothing, because it's much slower. It's much calmer. The closer you get to the center, the calmer and more peaceful it is. But that's not as much fun, is it? It's going up and down real fast and holding on for dear life, right? And, you know, we've all been there and we've tried that. What or who is the center of this life? In the Orthodox Church, we believe that the center is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, represented by Jesus Christ, who came to us in person to tell us about that. If you will, the passions of our own body scream. I talked with someone recently, and we were talking about the challenges we all face with our own passions, our own weaknesses. And he said, Father, what do I do when my passions scream at me inside my head to respond to this or respond to that or to be sad or to be in despair? What happens when my very blood screams at me to do something all inside? Others can't hear it, but they can, if we're not careful, see our expression of it if we do not control it. That's what we are here to learn on this earth. The world, our own bodies, scream at us to let go. Just let go. There was a slogan in the 70s, I tried it and I liked it. And I was too young to really know what that meant. But the world is still singing this same song. Go on, try it, you'll like it. And if you don't, there's plenty of other things to try. The world doesn't say, whoa, slow down, be calm, control your passions. How do we get to the center? And the center is another way for saying salvation, redemption, purity. There are a lot of different ways to talk about it. Different things connect with different people. How do we move to the center? Well, first of all, you've got to want to move to the center. You've got to want to move towards God. If you don't want to move towards God, He is a loving Father, like in the parable of the prodigal son. And He is always, He's not just sitting in the kingdom, He has gone out of the kingdom, out to find you. He's out on the road, looking, waiting, beckoning. He wants you to come. But He won't make you. He will not make you come to faith. You have to, I have to, we have to do this. We have to want. We have to realize that what this world tells us is often a lie. It is often a lie. Maybe with a little truth mixed in with it, but the greater package is often a lie. This try it and you'll like it business. Well, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. We can try these things, and some of us have, and we have found that they are unsatisfying. We have to want to move towards God. How do we move towards God? How do we increase our grip, if you will, on that pole? Or better yet, how do we get off one horse that's near the outside of that circle or carousel and move towards the center? How do we do that? How do we increase our faith? Well, we do that by seeking to produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. By telling that voice in our head when it screams at us to be angry, I can't believe she did that. Boy, I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to do this, and I'm not the only one that's ever thought that, right? I can't believe that guy just cut me off in traffic. The nerve of him, right? I'll show him, I'll pull in front and slow down, right? I've never done that. How do we practice controlling our passions? Well, it takes practice. There's no easy way to do it. If I had a copy of the gospel in front of me, I would challenge you to find the word easy in the gospel. I don't think it's in there. I don't think the Greek word for easy is in the Bible, because it's not. Christ never said it was easy. He said it was good, it was true, it was right, it was holy. He didn't say a thing about difficulty. He never, the word easy is in there. Take my yoke, for it is light, and my burden is easy, I think. It just came to me. Someone must have been thinking it. Gosh, that was a good line. Easy's not in the Bible. But still, it isn't easy. How do we practice it? Well, faith and hope and love. Now, when is the time? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. There's six more. When is the time to practice love? When everything is happy-go-lucky, hunky-dory? Well, yes, but the better time to practice love is when we are surrounded or confronted with its opposite, with hate. That is the time that we are really expressing love when what we are receiving is hate. What about joy? The time to find joy, and when I say find, I mean making a conscious decision in your head that despite the fact that you have a terrible illness and you are receiving treatment that makes you feel like you've got pneumonia, despite that fact, you are consciously deciding, I am choosing joy, J-O-Y. I'm not going to dwell on the sorrow of this moment, but I am going to express the joy in all of the many things that God has blessed me with. That is when you find real joy, not when you've just won the lottery. Well, that's easy. That requires nothing of you. Loving those who love you, as it says in Scripture, basically requires nothing. But to love those who hate you, that requires something. Now you've got some skin in the game. Now you've put some money on the table. Now you're increasing your grip on that wheel. When it spins, you're not going to let go as much. To love those who hate us. To find joy in sorrow. Maybe you didn't get into the college you wanted to. Okay, that's a bummer. I get it. But find joy in the ones that you can find. When do we find peace? We make a conscious decision in the moment of conflict. Of conflict. And we all have conflict, right? In our relationships at home, at work, in traffic, everywhere. Friends, neighbors, brothers and sisters. This is what the good news of the gospel is. It's not to react, not to be as our own bodies scream at us, not to be as the world teaches us, right? Not that way. To be what way? To be the way of Jesus Christ. What did he do? What did he model? In humility and love and patience and forgiveness. What point is forgiving if there's nothing to forgive? How can you practice forgiveness if you know, you're just making up these little things that they did? What about when they really step on your ego? When they really bug you or do it for the umpteenth time? I'm not the only one, I know it. What do we do? Forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. There is nothing anyone has ever done to you that we have not already done to somebody else. Think about that. There's nothing anyone has ever done to us that we have not already done, maybe not to the same degree, but in essence, we have expressed our ego and overridden someone else's free will. We've all done it, and we'll do it again. That's a newsflash for you. We will continue to do it. That is our walk in this life, is to bear with others when they do these things to us and not get angry at them and not try to control them, for heaven's sakes. God doesn't control us. We don't try to control others. To give them space. Do you know what we control? Numero uno. That's who we've got to control, and that's hard enough. When you're perfect and you can control yourself completely, then fine, maybe you can give some advice to somebody else, right? Right? Come on. We have to admit our weakness. We have to know these things. We have to seek the way that Christ gave us if we want to move towards the center, if we want to find salvation and peace. That is the way. The answer is found there. It is not found on this world because the world has a flawed message. Regarding the events that occurred in Charlottesville, Virginia, I do not have a response for you in the words of this world. The world does not know how to solve these issues. The world has helped create these issues, contributes to them, and inflames them. The world and we are the problem. Where do we find the answer? The answer is neither to the right. The answer is neither to the left. The answer is up. The answer is above and beyond us, from outside, in God, through Christ and the Holy Spirit. If we follow and try to follow what He has taught us and shown us the way with all patience, humility, and love, we as Orthodox Christians and hopefully the greater society can weather the storm we are in. Think about these things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.